What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds. Hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome to this wonderful Thanksgiving episode of What's for Dinner, which I guess is going to be turkey, considering it's a Thanksgiving episode. I'm here right now, guys. Not back in LA yet. I'm actually in Florida, in the lovely Sunshine State, where it is sunshiny out right now, broadcasting, as I've done a couple times in the past, from my childhood. Well, not my childhood. I didn't really grow up here. It's more like...
I don't think you've ever grown up.
That's very true. This is my teenage to adult house, right?
I don't think you've ever grown up.
Thank you. That gruffly voice you hear is my father, Stu Schultz. Hey, Dad.
Hey, happy Hanukkah, happy Thanksgiving, happy Hanukkah giving.
That's right, Hanukkah. Oh, it's Hanukkah this weekend, too, for all the Jews out there. Absolutely, happy Hanukkah.
It's another 70,000 years before this happens again. Do you know that?
Before what? Hanukkah falls on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Do you think you'll be around?
I hope so. That'll be my granddaughter be 70,004 years old.
It's true. She'll be so old. This once every 70,000 years? Are you sure that's
right? I don't think it's once every 70,000 years, but I read that the next time this happens will be in 70,000 years.
Really?
Would I lie to you?
Yes.
Well, I'm
yes,
not
you
this
would.
Time, no.
All right. Well, then we're very lucky to be experiencing this.
It is. It's almost like Halley's Comet, but better.
Yeah, it's Jewier.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Shelley's Comet. I don't know. I don't know either.
I don't know.
But for this episode, like I said, I'm at my home that I spent my my teenage years, my formidable years. I lost my virginity in this home. So did you. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. And I thought that this episode would just be fun to talk about what I'm grateful for and the fact that I have my dad sitting here next to me. One of the most important things I'm grateful for is sitting right next to me. So I thought it'd be cool for you to be on this one too, Dad.
Thank you so much, son.
You're welcome. Why do you have a shit-eating grin on your face as we're doing this?
Because I just ate some shit.
See, side note, for those who really know me well, you know that I have this insatiable habit of always trying to tell it, like be funny. Like, always finding the smart-ass thing to say, which has come in handy with my occupation, thank God. But it also has a habit of coming up a kind of inopportune, almost... what's the word? Just
times.
Well, not times, but not just inopportune. Just multitude of times. Just any time. Too many times. And people say, Flip, you don't have to try to be funny all the time. You don't always have to try to make a joke. And I'll usually say, I can't help it. If you want to know why I can't help it, the answer is also sitting right next to me. And here comes the joke. You have a facade of always like being goofy and funny. I'm realizing the older I get, the more I am you.
Especially
with the gray hair. But seriously, my mannerisms, my actions, my verbiage, my looks, my attitude is a lot of you. And part of it I'm happy for. Part of it I'm really upset about.
I feel just great.
How does it feel having a son who's going to be up for AARP in less years than he's been alive?
Coming from somebody who
don't make a joke. I see it already.
I feel old.
You feel old. Okay, let me ask you. Okay, because as I've been getting older, father, and we'll get to the Thanksgiving thing in a second, but as I've been getting older, father of mine, I have been realizing that I've been discovering answers. I'll give you an example. I was over at Darren, my brother, your other son's house, who has a beautiful daughter, your granddaughter, my niece. We were over his house, and he put her to sleep, tucked her in, did the whole shebang, came out in the living room where I was, and we were just hanging out. We were talking, we were laughing, we were having a beer, just being brothers. And then his daughter, Lily, came out and just kind of...
That would be your niece.
My niece. Peeked her head out and looked just so inquisitive as what was going on. Darren saw her and just said, okay, that's it. You're going back. Go to bed. I told you if you get out of bed, there'll be no whatever ice cream tomorrow. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, Daddy. And I remember when I was a kid, that doing that same thing, like hearing you out in the in the old house, hearing you in the family room with like the Yeltsins or the Itzkowitzes and, you know, family friends, hearing you guys laugh and talking and thinking, oh, they must be doing such cool stuff. I want to be a part of that. And I'd try to sneak out and you guys would do the same thing to me. And now that I got older and I'm on the other side of it, I realized you guys were just fucking around. You were just having some drinks, being stupid. Not, it was nothing vital. There was nothing important to what you were doing.
No, you didn't miss much at all.
Yeah, but I realized that I did as a kid. I didn't. I thought it was the, I was missing something so important. And now I'm on the other side. I'm like, you guys were just being stupid.
Well, the anal sex wasn't bad.
Well, by that you mean very specific sex. But I just find it so so interesting that I'm on the other side of it now. It's like, and all of this shit that I was so, that I would always question about adults and being grown up, I'm discovering the answers to.
Oh, now you're a married man with a beautiful wife and, a little you know, nice to have you back.
What does that mean?
Nice to have you back at your adolescent home.
Oh, I
visiting.
Well, but let me ask you this. As you get older, have you found, because I'm sure you went through this the same as I am, but you are, you know, we're in your 60s now. Are you realizing answers, still realizing answers to questions that you had?
Oh, absolutely, son. You never stop growing. You never stop learning.
What's something, what's the newest thing that you kind of had like, oh my God, I, you know, that's what it means?
You really want to know?
As long as you're serious. You're not
making am serious. Yeah, yeah, I just came from volunteering reading for the blind, and I'm reading a book on economics, and even though I'm a college graduate, I'm learning things that I never knew about gross national product, about deficits and things like that. And I find it interesting, even learning at my age.
Okay. So that's more of a academic thing that you're learning.
You asked me what I've just learned.
No, no, has there been anything almost philosophical or just, you know, self-discovery that you've come upon in your older, wiser age?
Life is wonderful. Life is wonderful. You wake up, you smell the roses, you look at your children who are adults, you look at your grandchild who's growing beautifully. It just everything is wonderful. It is. Getting old is wonderful. I'm retired and I'm enjoying my life, enjoying my family. I can't wait till we have 40 people over on Thursday, and just kissing and hugging every one of my nieces and nephews. And life is beautiful, kid.
So you've reached that point of just contentment all around.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
You deserve it, Bob.
I know I do, and I really enjoy it. I really do. You know, 41 years with your mom, that's not too bad, is it?
Not at all. I don't know how she did it.
For her to stay with me for that long, I must be a very wonderful person.
That's true. You're not bad. You're not bad, Dad.
Not that bad anymore.
And also, you've retired from pretty much every occupation you've had now, right?
And I've had many.
Well, you've always been an educator, though. That's kind of been...
For almost 40 years, yeah.
And you retired from that, and then you had your own business.
For over 30 years, yeah.
And you sold that.
Yeah.
Which I know was a huge weight off your shoulders.
I love it. Retirement.
Yeah.
But well, I'm still active with the new owner, and I'm very happy when he calls me for advice. I don't miss it, but I enjoyed it very, very much. And
let me ask you this. I think you've told me this, but for our loyal listeners, all tens of them, what was your first job that you ever had?
My very first job? You talking about getting paid or just doing something? Okay, my first job, I live in Newark, New Jersey, and every neighborhood had a corner candy store. And my first job was, I used to go in, the owner was handicapped, so I'd go in and help him. And I'd make the old-fashioned soda jerk types of sundaes and sodas with the syrup and the seltzer and stuff like that.
So like almost out of Willy Wonka, like that little kind of store where he had the...
Oh, just like you see in the old movies. You know, so like the drugstore fountain.
What did they call it? Did they actually, is it like a modern-day drugstore? Do they sell medicine and everything, or was it just...
Oh, yeah, yeah, back in those days. In fact, a lot of the rumors are that particular stars got discovered at Schwab's, which is a, I think it's called Schwab's, which is a drugstore out in L.A. But it was, you know, at the fountain there, sure. They would sell all sorts of things back in the days before supermarkets and things like that. You'd go into the corner candy store, you'd buy candy, of course, cigarettes, toys, penny candies, stuff that was like individual little candies. This is back in the 50s. They weren't even wrapped up. They were in a case with a sliding glass door on it.
Didn't they like stick to each other like candies often do when they're...
Who cares? It's candy. It's ice cream.
So that was your job. You worked at
that. That wasn't a job. That was something that I did.
For free candy or something?
Yeah, free anything. I used to run a tab there. Can you imagine that? You had 10, 12 years old running a tab.
What's your question? Did you ever like walk in after a really shitty day at school and just sit at the counter and like, Joe, give me a soda jerk?
Which Joe would say, yeah, but don't call me a jerk.
I was going to say that could have a totally other meaning if it's the wrong kind of guy.
You know where the expression soda jerk came from?
Was it because you jerk the handle?
Yeah, but if you are familiar with the handles, when you push it forward, it comes out in volume. When you push it back towards you, when you push it forward, it comes out in a very fine, fast stream. So when you made a soda, you would put the syrup in, you would...
Stir it?
You would stir it as the high volume comes in, and just when you finish, you'd give it one quick jerk the other way, which would add more...
gas bubbles?
Yeah, carbonation.
Carbonation. So that's why they called it a soda jerk?
That's what I understand. That's why they call the individual a soda jerk.
What if the guy was just a complete asshole, and that's why they called him a soda jerk, and he says, no, it's because I do the handle.
No, then we call him a soda asshole.
A soda asshole? Like, he's not really an asshole. He's soda an asshole.
And then after that, or during the same time in my wonderful neighborhood, next door to my home, there was an apartment house, and many apartment houses in those days had stores, like the candy store was part of that, beneath them, and there was a guy there that owned an egg company. He would have egg farms, and he'd bring the eggs over into his warehouse, which was next door to my home, and I would work with him candling eggs or putting the conveyor belt, exactly, but without electricity. It just had little wheels putting the dozens and dozens of eggs in a crate going one way or the other way, out of the store or into the store. And I don't remember what he paid me. He used to throw me a quarter and say, go get yourself a malted milk at the candy store I just described. Then he'd throw me a raw egg. Because I was really skinny. He says, have him put that in there.
You were skinny. I've seen pictures.
The first time I ever had a cigarette was when I was working with his nephew in the back of the...
How old were you?
12.
Ugh. Oh, that's not good, Dad.
Yeah.
So you've been smoking for 50 years?
No, I stopped for a couple of weeks.
Okay, so you worked at the drugstore making sodas. And you
My
worked
first real job.
Now, this I think I know.
Was what?
Bagel?
No. Before that, when we lived in Union, New Jersey, I got a job at, it was called the farm stores, but not farm stores as we know them down here, but it was a little convenience store, and people would come and take things off the shelves and put them on the counter, and I'd ring them up and put them in a bag. And
so you're like a cashier?
That's exactly. Manager, for want of a better word, since I was the only person in the store at the time. But yeah, 15, 16-year-old cashier. I remember having to get my working papers for that job. And then...
Was that the bagel after that?
Yeah, after I got my driver's license. Because
this could not be the more Jewier job. Short of being a rabbi or an accountant, making bagels.
Making bagels. That was great, once again. It was a company in Newark. I lived in Union and used to drive over there. And I delivered bagels. I don't know if you remember Uncle Mitch, but he had that job, and when he graduated college, he gave it to me, and that was really good. I think I earned $2.89 an hour back before there was a minimum wage, and most of the people were earning a dollar or less an hour. So cool.
Look at you.
And I would deliver bagels, and sometimes I'd work in the actual bagel processing part of it, and I was a kettleman. I would boil the bagels before they put them
You'd
in the
boil
oven.
The bagels?
I would boil. You put the bagels in hot water.
Sound like a Jewish witch. Boil the bagels.
Boil the bagels. That would keep the holes from closing up, and then they'd be put into the oven and come out really good. really good. The smell of that place. And whenever I go into a bagel place now, like Broadway around the corner, because they make their own, that smell just gets to me. It's such a wonderful, wonderful odor.
Yeah, by the way, if you're ever in South Florida, Broadway Bagels is an amazing little little hidden gem.
They should give us a free breakfast just for mentioning their name.
Oh, there you go.
There, the Jew.
The Jew. Always trying to find the bargain, Stu. Oh, that's cool, Poppy. That's really cool. Like, I remember you telling me that story when we were younger, and I just, for some reason, I don't know why that fascinated me about you working in a bagel place.
It was so cool. And you know, you bagels are no good after the day they're baked, so you get as many free bagels as you want at the end of the day.
Oh, Grandma and Grandpa must have loved that.
Well, not only Grandma and Grandpa, but I used to bring dozens of bagels to the homes of the parents of the girls that I was taking out in those days.
Oh, what a great way to kiss ass.
It really was. Actually, the girls would break up with me, but the parents would keep asking me by.
Why'd you break up with that Schultz kid? He gets us free. You know how much pumpernickel costs?
Yeah.
Wholesale?
Back in those days, it was 87 cents a dozen.
Jeez. It is scary how fast things are.
I remember gas when it was less than 20 cents a gallon.
I actually remember gas when it was less than a dollar. That's how old. That's my age barometer. When I started driving, I remember gas. When I was going to college, and I had to start paying for my own gas because I had a car that you bought me that I totaled after 3 weeks.
Oh, that beautiful Chevy Camaro, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. For those of you who might not know, I had a 1985 Midnight Blue Camaro that my parents got me for graduation from high school that I totaled less than a month after having it.
Well, at least you weren't hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Although I remember sitting, not on this couch, but when he had a different couch sitting right there, just upset and scared. And you came in and just stared me down with the most evil stare I've ever seen in your eyes.
I remember telling your mom to hit you for a while because my arm was getting tired.
What? You never hit me.
Of course not.
Not for that.
Oh, no.
But, I remember driving to college at BCC in that car, and I remember there was a gas sign, 97 cents a gallon. And then I remember when it went to a dollar, I was like, this is unheard of. I can't believe. I remember when I drove out to L.A., when I moved to L.A., I was driving cross-country with a friend of mine, and we were somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and we needed gas, and pulled over in the only gas station, and we knew it was the only gas station for miles, so they could really raise the price, and I swear to God, I think it was like $1.80-something, and I was so livid. I could not believe that. Highway robbery. Now I would blow the gas station attendant for $1.80-something a gallon.
Oh, my goodness. I think I told you. I just filled up.
I think I just blew a guy for that.
$1.89?
Nothing to say.
Where do you get the odd number?
I don't know. That's just what he told me.
Okay. Yeah, I just paid $3.39 for gas, and the last time I filled up, a week and a half ago, I paid $3.17, which is crazy.
No, this world is going to hell in a handbasket anyway. Whatever, I love the world, I love life.
I love you.
So coming back to the whole main point of the show.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hanukkah.
What you've already talked about a little bit, but aside from the obvious, the friends, the family, the health, what things are you grateful for, Dad?
I'm grateful for friends, family, and health.
Anything else?
Just treat everybody. It doesn't sound like Bible. Treat everybody as you would like them to treat you, and smile every day. Because I learned a long time ago, things don't make you unhappy. You make yourself unhappy. So if you can accept things as they are, you'll be a very happy individual. That's the philosophical side of your day.
Yeah, that wasn't quite what you're grateful for, but I'll take it.
Actually, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everything.
I know. I know you are. What my dad actually had a. My dad is has moments of wisdom. You have true moments where I look at my dad. I go, God, you really know what you're talking about. Then a lot of times I just go, you're a fucking goof. But a couple of things that you've taught me that have stuck with me are one that my father told me this when I had a really bad breakup. And I was really hurt, but still very much not over my ex, and just constantly pining for her and still getting my heart broken and still wanting her and not receiving it, but not really accepting that. And I remember my dad said to me, son, never let somebody live in your mind rent-free.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Which, if you want to explain it, because it's a wonderful expression.
Never let somebody stay in your mind thinking about somebody you don't really care about.
Who isn't thinking about you the same way.
Pardon me?
Who isn't thinking about you in the same way.
Exactly. I'm not an old person, but you get to have a philosophy. And honestly, this is for you and for your friends out there. Let me tell you a philosophy I've been living for several years now. In fact, I have it typed up in a little piece of paper. Having to do with work and such. A little piece of paper I keep and carry around in my wallet, and I've told it to certain people.
I think
over
this is one of the other wise things that you've done for me.
I hope so. I hope so. And this is something that I have not made up. In fact, after researching it, I found out it was the CEO of Coca-Cola, I believe, gave a commencement speech at Georgia Tech. And to paraphrase what he said, he indicated that life is a circus and you are the juggler. You're juggling five balls: work, friends, family, health, and integrity. You're trying your best to keep all five balls in the air. After a while, you come to realize that work is a rubber ball. Should you drop it, it'll bounce back. But the other four balls, family, health, friends, and integrity, are made of glass, made of crystal. Should you drop one or more, they might scuff, they might chip, they might even shatter. And once you have that philosophy in your mind, you will truly have a balance in your life. And I really do live by that, because when people have told me about losing their jobs and stuff like that, I automatically reach in my wallet, and I can show it to you later. I take out this little piece of paper. I read it in a book once. In fact, if you research it, it's called The Lesson of the Five Balls. You'll find out that it was in a particular novel. I don't remember, but I was on a cruise, and when I read it, I grabbed a napkin and I wrote it down. And as soon as I got home from vacation, I transposed it and typed it via computer onto a little piece of paper, folded it up, and carry it wherever I go.
It's a really great philosophy, and it's
true.
It is.
I think it is. You know, you can't lament over things you have no control over,
yeah. You know? I'm learning that, too. Like, you know, for me, especially, like, right this very moment in my life, work isn't where I'd want it to be, you know. And it can become frustrating. It can be a shot to the ego. It can be scary, especially when you've got someone that you're, you know, trying to provide for as well. But I really do keep in mind that piece of advice, because it when you think about it, it really is true.
It's true. It bounces back, but still you have your friends, your family, your health, and most importantly, your integrity. And I think integrity is probably one of the highest qualities that I appreciate in a person. When I was teaching, there was a poster on the wall. I'm trying to remember exactly what it said, but something to the effect that integrity or character is how you behave when no one else is watching. Think about it.
Yeah.
All of you guys think about it out there.
That's true.
You know, a lot of people act a certain way to impress others, but it's the way you act when nobody's watching that truly is a barometer of how much integrity and character you have. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know for me there have been moments that I've kind of been put in a moment where I didn't have time to really think, only to react. And I know in those moments I've reacted in the right way. You guys did a good job bringing me and Darren up.
Oh, I know we did. We're so proud of you guys. And your brother's doing a wonderful job bringing up Lily. And it's, it's life is a circle. It's a cycle. It's just, you know, what goes around comes around. And, you know, I think I told you when you were a little kid, if you love me and have half as much respect for me as I had for my own father, that I feel like I'm a success. I really do feel that way.
Well, yeah, I have probably half as much.
Huh?
Your father was a great guy, from what you've told me and from what I remember. For those of you listen, and I keep saying to my friends out there, I might have mentioned this on the show before, but my grandfather, my father's father, Harold, was a really amazing guy. gregarious,
yeah,
perverted.
Oh, yeah.
Funny. Actually, and I know I've told the story before, but he was there the very first time I ever did stand-up comedy when I was 8 years old at a summer talent show.
Mm-hmm. And Best in the West.
Best in the West, who I saw the trophy for. And you've told me so many great stories about Grandpa that I feel like I know him better now, even though I haven't had a chance to really get to never really get to know him.
Oh, he was a great guy. He really was. He had his moments. I'm sure everybody does. You know, it's so funny. I just remembered, if you recall, when you were up on stage doing your stand-up that my father taught you, the jokes and stuff.
Well, I thought you, no, you and he, Grandpa taught me.
Reagan, you know, he doesn't dye his hair. Harry bleaches his face and stuff. But you saw him, and you went, oh, Grandpa, and you broke up?
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, we had gone up for a vacation in the mountains someplace in New Jersey, New York, and I was in a little play. And I don't remember the play or anything about it, but I do remember being on stage and seeing my father beaming out there from the audience and breaking character and going, oh, Dad.
Really?
Same thing, I swear to God.
Really?
I swear to God.
I never knew that.
Yep.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow, that is... Really?
Yep.
That is so funny. Yeah, when I was 8 years old in the talent show, I remember I was doing my Richard Nixon impression.
Yep.
And I remember... I distinctly remember seeing the audience, you know, laugh, a polite laugh. But then to my left, to stage left, Grandpa sitting in one of those awful orange plastic seats. And he was a big guy. And just remember him laughing, this big, big laugh like Santa Claus. And I looked at him and I said, I think I said just Grandpa, but you
something
said
like that, but you like, laughed.
Hi, Grandpa. But I smiled And I can't believe you did the same thing to him.
I did.
This has got to be a generational thing. When I have children, I'm going to force them to be in some kind of performance, and you better still be there.
Oh, I will.
So they could say, hi, oh, Grandpa. Matter of fact, I'm going to write a play to where the kid's line has to say, hi, Grandpa, and look at you out in the audience.
Sounds good to me.
Well, I'll tell you, Dad, I am incredibly grateful for you.
I am for you, son.
For this time. Even just now that we get to talk, even though this is forever saved for posterity, I really do treasure my time with you, and I love you very much.
I love you too, Philip.
Oh, gave away the real name. I won't even bleep that.
Don't bleep it.
I'm not going to bleep it.
To me and your mom, you will always be Philip Wynn Schultz.
Yeah.
You know what's so surprising? First time I ever heard your grandmother, my mom, call you Flip. For her, it's so out of character.
Yeah. Well, nobody in the family calls me Philip anymore. I don't, well, you when you're being sentimental, but naturally you call me Flip.
I do.
Yeah, I've been Flip since high school. Matter of fact, I was talking to Allie and I went to visit some old friends of mine that I met when I was a teenager, and I just started going by Flip, so they knew me as Flip. And we were talking about how when Allison and I started dating and I was in my 30s, I'm like, you know what? This is a girl I really like. And, you know, I'm in my 30s now, and yeah, I could be Flip on stage and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, maybe I should have somebody who's going to be close to me call me Philip. Let's try this. And Allison and I, we had just started dating, so she wasn't quite so used to Flip yet. So she called me Philip, and I think that lasted for 2 days.
Yeah.
Until I said, you know what?
Flip.
Yeah, I'm Flip. Philip is too weird. I'm not Phil. I've never been a Phil.
Oh, you've never been a Phil.
No. Didn't Grandpa start calling me Flip?
Grandpa named you Flip.
How did that? I really don't know that story.
You, way before comedy, I think he named you Flip when he looked through the window of the nursery.
Really? That
young? The hospital you were born, yeah.
How come he never called me that when we were growing up?
I don't know. I don't remember if he did or didn't. But
I never remember.
He called you Flip, and at that particular time, Flip Wilson was a very big celebrity.
Of course.
And, you know.
Well, that's... I had no idea it was that young.
Yep.
Well, like I was saying, I'm very grateful for you, and I love you.
Thank you.
I'm grateful for my entire family. It's so strange. I realize now how rare it is that I grew up with literally my entire family within a half-hour drive from each other.
That's true.
I'm talking my grandparents, my cousins, aunts, uncles, even some second cousins. we're all within a very short distance from each other. I thought that's how it was with everybody.
And another way that it's not with everybody is everybody in our family gets along, got along, and gets along.
Yeah, there have been some rifts, but in the end, we all come back together.
Always.
I know, very lucky, very rare. And I am grateful for my entire family, extended and all. I'm grateful for Allison, for finding my one, my other half, my love, my partner in perversion. Girl who... I basically found mom. Yeah. And I mean that in the sense that she's the most giving, loving, positive, wonderful person I've ever met in my life.
She is.
With the exception of mom.
Uh-huh. I love Allie.
I do too. And I love her mom. I'm very grateful for a wonderful
she is so nice.
Mother-in-law. For Barbara. I'm grateful for all my friends that I have, my friends that I see socially, my comic friends, my friends from my childhood I'm still close to, and my friends listening to this right now. I do not call my supporters fans. I call them friends.
And I think we're boring every single one
of them. I think we are so knee-deep in sentimental bullshit, we're going to drown in it soon.
Okay, so what? Anal sex?
My father, ladies and gentlemen. My father. Again, people, oh my God, where did Skippy Green come from? My father, ladies and gentlemen.
As my old man used to say, you are the fruit of my loins.
I am the fruit of your loins. Speaking of, Dad, we're going to make this a short show because, again, we're riding the lines of sentimental bullshit. But speaking of Skippy Green, it is now time, Father, for the Skippy Green Show. Of course, that was a complete miss. How is there always some kind of technical fuck up every time? Let's try that again, Dad. It is now time for what?
The Skippy Green Show.
The Skippy Green Show.
Stu, how are you?
Pretty good, Skippy. How you doing?
Oh, not too good, Stu. Not too good.
What's the matter?
Oh, you want to know what happened to me, Stu? The other day, I was I took 8 Viagra and I started fucking Joanna Kearns. Talk about growing pains.
Oi.
You get it?
Yeah, and I must tell you, if your erection lasts more than 32 hours, call a doctor immediately.
Are you kidding? I'm calling everybody. All right, Stu, here we go. I'm going to ask you this question, and you got to answer the question in 10 words exactly. You got that?
Yes.
Not 11, not 9.
Yes.
10 words. Are you ready, Stu?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am.
If you... look me in the eye. Could fuck any bagel. Which one would it be and why? 10 words.
Any bagel?
Any bagel.
I would fuck an E.T.
That's everything.
That's everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, you didn't answer the question. Which one and why?
Definitely an E.T.
You would fuck, that's 5.
I would fuck an E.T. because the holes are bigger and I really need a big hole.
The Skippy Green Show.
Perfect.
I love you very much.
I love you too, son.
Well, like I said, I think we're going to cut this one short, guys. So, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Hanukkah to those of you who are not Jewish or not living in America or celebrate Thanksgiving. Happy Thursday or Tuesday, which is when this is going up. And I hope you guys, whatever you do this weekend, I hope you spend it with people you care about and people that you love, because I know I will be. And again, I love you very much, Dad.
I love you too, son. And to all my fans out there, have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
That's very sweet. Anything you want to plug?
Except for E.T. Bagel.
Yeah, Broadway Bagels. If you're ever in the South Florida area, go to Broadway Bagels. And guys, you know my spiel. I'll see you online. I'll see you at the shows. Oh, if you're in Tucson, by the way, Tucson, Arizona, December 14th and 15th, I will be there with Allison. So come out and check that out. All right. That's at Laughs in Tucson. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.